Justin Kaufman just strolled into our studio, who you hear on Extension 720, which runs at 7 p.m. weeknights on WGN, is because Jon Snow didn't want to be king. And Jefferson has in the past said that anybody who aspires for the office should not be considered just for that fact alone. You want somebody who's a reluctant leader, not somebody whose ego is driving them into office. Mm. And Jon Snow was like that. No spoilers on this show. I'll let you catch up with the show if you haven't seen it yet. But it was just kind of fun to talk to him about that. And then you all got to ask him questions about the wall and about the president being too powerful. We talked about ice cream and macaroni and cheese. It was all over the map. It was a typical Jefferson conversation. So, more about that a little later on. Thanks to all of you who came. Thanks to the staff at WGN Radio for putting it on. Thanks to our sponsor, the Joint Relief Institute. Speaking of chief executives, there's a new mayor in town.
Yeah.
Literally.
How about that?
Let's play a couple clips from it, Justin Kaufman. I asked you to pop in here just to sort of share with me some of your insights, because you follow city politics as well as anybody at this station. This is Lori Lightfoot talking about the business of integrity.
Now, our four star must be integrity. I know. Putting Chicago government and integrity in the same sentence sometimes may seem a little strange.
And that got big laughs, but isn't that an interesting thing for the mayor to say?
Especially on stage in front of the backdrop that is, I don't know, hundreds of politicians, both current, future, and past. We saw
and the
Mayor
entire
Daley
city
up
council.
There. We saw all the legislators in Springfield, minus a couple. Yeah, it seemed to me, obviously she's talking to the city of Chicago, who she should be talking to, and the people who live here, so that was great. But this idea that, you know, that what's been done in the past and some of the people that are on this stage that have treated this office with less than the integrity that's needed, I thought it was a great message. Because most of the times when someone gets to the inaugural stage, you recognize that the things that you said on the campaign trail or the people that you might have skewered on the campaign trail, they're, you know what, let's make amends, let's not talk. I like the fact that she kept the tone that you're not going to be able to use this office for your own profit. You're not, you know, we need more integrity in city council. Those were good things to hear from the mayor of Chicago.
We'll get to that in a minute, but the idea that literally integrity in Chicago politics is a laughing stock and got a laugh from that crowd, I thought was a roll of the dice that played off for her, but also kind of a sad commentary on where we were. And it set the stage for what else she was going to say, because she now says, here's cut two, Aleph, reform is here, and she gets a lot of applause for a sentence as simple as this.
For years, they've said Chicago ain't ready for reform. Well, get ready, because reform is here.
Do you guys remember? Was Rahm's speech like this?
Yeah, I feel not named Daley's speech was like that. I think the idea of Chicago ain't ready for reform, but here is reform, is kind of a little bit cliche. Even, in the sense that once we want to see it, we want to see the rubber meets the road. Stop the talk, walk the walk.
Okay, so then following that, here's her follow-up to that comment. She says, the little guy for too long has been paying the bill.
Means restoring trust in our city's government and finally bringing some real integrity to the way this city works. When public officials cut shady backroom deals, they get rich and the rest of us get the bill. When some people get their property taxes cut in exchange for campaign cash, they get the money and sure enough, we get the bill. Family with the bungalow, the lady who runs the hair salon, the guy who owns the store on the corner. They aren't powerful or big or well connected, but they end up paying when our government is corrupt. This practice breeds corruption. Stopping it isn't just in the city's interest, it's in the city council's interest.
And here the applause goes for 40 uninterrupted seconds.
That's what she campaigned on. She campaigned on this exact thing, this idea of corruption and government taking money out of your pocket. You have to pay for it.
But there's a difference, Justin, in that she has a more of a likeness. She's more likely to
follow through on it because she didn't come through the system.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah,
she didn't,
absolutely.
Whether it was Emanuel or Daly,
right,
she,
right,
she's an outsider that way.
And don't you think, Steve, also makes then her bold stand on day one, on hour one, a little more provocative and maybe even a little more problematic for her? She doesn't have any equity in that room.
I think that she spends, I think that she's very strategic in calling this out, because really who she's talking about is Alderman Ed Burke. He's the statesman who's on that, he's on the platform behind her as she makes this speech.
He just got
re-elected. About her and him.
Did they call his name out? Because they announced the names of all of the aldermen.
He was one of the first.
You know, and I didn't pay attention to that part until halfway through, and I thought, oh, I missed the bees. Did they? But
no,
for
booze.
Some of them, it was like a high school graduation where the kid gets up and you can't believe it and you go bananas. And then some of the applause was tepid.
It was hard. You know, I was watching
his
it.
Reaction.
I was watching it, and they were, for some reason, all, and I flipped around the channels. The channels were using that as dead time to talk over because it was just a roll call, but I was interested to see how the audience in the room was reacting to Ed Burke, to Rahm Emanuel, to some of the more veteran presence that are not necessarily in Lori Lightfoot's camp.
Well, you knew she was loading up when she mentioned the property taxes and the deals that these people are cutting, and how the little guy, you remember the ProPublica reporting, of course, that they've been doing, where they said, look, the poor are paying a disproportionate amount relative to their property values than the rich in this city, and that's just the way it is. So this is cut four now, Elif, and she says no alderman should be able to profit from that kind of practice.
No official in the city of Chicago, elected or appointed, should ever profit from his office. Never, ever.
Then they went bananas again.
I could have used some nifty camera work at that point, watching it, because it was just a feed. They stayed on her. I would have liked a quick shot to Ed Burke, you know, just to see.
I mean,
how
she did everything but call him out by name on some of these things.
But you know what? She, again, and Steve knows this too. She was the candidate that really benefited from being an outsider, and she was the one candidate that called Ed Burke out. So she's going to continue to do that.
So you weren't surprised to hear this?
I was not. I was surprised in the sense that a lot of times when you get to this stage where you're already elected, you start. You don't need it, or you're like, we all are going to come together now. So to hear her continue to say that, I think it's good. It's good for the city, and it's good that she spoke up on that issue, an issue she drove home. I mean, she was putting statements out left and right on Ed Burke. So, yeah.
Oh, a cutaway to Ed Burke just then. How delicious that would have been. It would have almost seemed a little heavy-handed by the director of that shot, but you know what, and who she's talking about. And frankly, I'm on board. Good luck. I don't know how that happens. But if the law in the state or the ordinance in the city is such that an alderman, I don't know how you're going to define profit from their public position. Ultimately, everybody profits from a public position. Does that mean they can't have a second job? I don't know exactly how you're going to.
How is she actually?
The mechanics of this are not going to be so easy.
Absolutely.
The idea behind it is good. This is track five. Lori Lightfoot says, and this is the thing that I wanted to talk about today, that this will mean, among other things, the end of aldermanic privilege.
Later this afternoon, I will sign an executive order to end the worst abuses of the so-called aldermanic privilege.
Again, long sustained applause for that. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And she, aldermanic privilege is that those aldermen in Chicago, they're little fiefdoms. Anything that goes through there. If you want a new parking lot, if you want your a tree cut, if you want to put a business in.
If you want Lincoln Yards.
Yeah,
instance.
I mean, it gets that big, right?
Yeah, it has to go through the alderman. He gets veto power.
And, yeah, absolutely. And it has been, there has been notions of abuse, and Steve mentioned Lincoln Yards being a good case of an alderman who pushed a project through, even though the residents there necessarily were hoping for more citywide interest. The thing I have a problem with this is that these is all words. I don't know what aldermanic privilege is. If I'm someone living in Chicago, I may say when I hear it described by the people who are trying to control a narrative, it's the fact that they can do whatever they want. They're kings of their, like you said, kings of their fiefdom. But when you talk to an alderman, you say, you know what? We need some of these powers. We need some of these things to keep bad businesses out. I think I heard Alderman Beal talking about, what if a company comes through and they're, we know that they're selling tainted meat? we used to have the ability to go in and shut them down. And some of these things might be good for the community. And it seems to me, and you know, I'm not one to say that obviously what's happening at city council is all on the up and up. But I don't know if, when you think about how legislative bodies work, I don't know it's the smartest thing to have the head of one branch be able to say, I'm taking away power. Where does that power go, John? Does it go to her? Who gets that power that's being taken away from these aldermen who represent and were elected to be represent the constituencies of their neighborhood?
But Justin, it's not constitutional power or codified anywhere. It's tradition, right? So right. Who gave them the power in the first place?
And I just wonder who's going. The question becomes what happens to that power? Does that power go to another? Is this just power grab?
Right. So as a practical matter, do you know the answer to that, Steve? As a practical matter, who will make the decisions that previously had to go through the aldermen?
The city council and the committees will vote on a piece of zoning change or legislation like they always do.
Right.
The only fact is now they always do it the way the local alderman wants them to.
And so then she throws this, the tiniest of bones, right? This is track, where are we now, Elif? I think it's 6. So she says, but don't worry, you'll still have things to do.
That does not mean that our aldermen will not be able to make sure that the streetlights are working or the parking signs are in the right place or any of the thousands of good things that they do for people every day.
Wah, wah.
She says that because aldermen are controlling the narrative and they're saying, I can't help my constituents? Is that what power you're taking away? So I understand why she says that.
Yeah, but I think that the tree's trimmed and the stop sign where you don't have one is sort of the carrot they use, and then they wield power with that. Mm-hmm. So they're not real. Of course they're interested in you trimming your trees and taking care of constituent work. But I think that because they have that power, they're then able to leverage it to line their pockets or.
Yep.
It can corrupt them.
That's corruption.
So she's saying, so we'll still let you do that busy work, but we're not going to let you parlay it in any way.
Right.
And that's maybe a good idea. But to those of them, to your point, who are parlaying it for greater good or who simply want that kind of authority, hell, you can get staffers to do this work. In fact, staffers do this work. So I thought that was sort of a backhanded attribute that she was handing them. Some of our texts include these. Gee, did Lori Lightfoot hurt some feelings? 847 says, go Lori Lightfoot. 269 says, sure wish WGN would sell those Thomas Jefferson CDs again. Yeah, well, there's no such thing as a CD player anymore, so that's why we don't sell them. But I wish we would, too, to be honest with you. Let's see, what else do we have here? The aldermen were named by ward and number. Oh, is that the way they were doing it? Not alphabetically. Thank you. Lori Lightfoot is a one-term mayor, John. Behind the scenes, contenders are already jockeying for position. I don't know that that's the case.
And even if they are, that might be because she's called it out on the carpet. She's said, hey, listen, no more of this corruption. And if it's Ed Burke that's leading the charge against her, why would anyone suspect her to be a one-term mayor? She's probably going to win that fight because he's a pretty damaged leader.
So then, and while she's saying these things, she's literally turning around and looking at the bunch of them, saying, okay, guys, you are all, did it remind anybody a little bit of Donald Trump's first inaugural speech where he sort of said, thanks, Barack, by the way, you screwed it up, it's terrible, it's corrupt.
Did you just say his first inaugural speech?
His only inaugural speech.
I guess I was confusing it with his State of the Union addresses, but I guess it was in his inaugural address where he just said, thanks very much. It was a vast wasteland, and I'm here to save the day. I guess that'll be the only comparison ever made between our mayor and that president.
I also thought I would, and you probably have the clips too, the clip about abortion.
Okay, let's get to that after this, because then she goes from all of that to a sentence I did not see coming. 16-inch softball, Justin. Chicago's homegrown version of the game is fun. Some players pay a heavy price. The Medical Watch report. Tonight on WGN TV News at 9. I don't think that's evidence that clincher softball is dangerous. It's just the people playing it shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, that might. Well, any sport you could do. Is badminton bad for you? You could do a little bit.
Pete Buttigieg. Oh, thanks, Elif. Somebody just texted in. A text, it's a screen grab from where I'm not sure, but it says Pete Buttigieg wants Thomas Jefferson events renamed. Racism isn't some curiosity out of the past, he says. We asked Jefferson about that at our event yesterday because some students want Jefferson statues removed from their university quads, and he said fine. He said, you know, I shouldn't even be on Mount Rushmore. When you start to idolize individuals instead of ideas, you're going down the path of monarchy. He said, so fine. But then he says, and then he makes the case for why he was a man of his era. Times change, but you should judge him according to the era and his aspirations. But I digress. So this is just one last comment. Justin Kaufman from Extension 720. You'll hear him at 7 o'clock tonight on WGN.
No, the White Sox tonight.
White Sox baseball tonight on WGN Radio. Are you on the stream then when we do that?
No.
So we will not hear you this
evening. I will be on the 16-inch softball diamond as WGN takes on a media foe.
708 texted in, wonder how smart for Lightfoot dipping her toe into the abortion waters. So after all that she said about ending corruption in Chicago, she then says this.
As I stand here today, Georgia is also on my mind, as is Alabama and every other state that is enacting laws intended to deprive women of their rights. We must stand with women all across our country who fear for their basic rights.
So I don't want to sound dismissive of that. That's a gigantic issue, obviously. But it was just an odd place to be hearing that.
Well, you know, Rahm Emanuel, the outgoing mayor, made the position of Chicago mayor a liberal opposition of national politics. He was in the New York Times, the editorial page. He was battling in the late night talk shows with Donald Trump. He had made the mayor of Chicago a national position. And I believe that Lori Lightfoot just cemented herself to follow in those footsteps. I believe that she is going to speak on behalf of liberal issues at the national stage from her perch as mayor of Chicago.
But it was a sculpture at an oil painting museum.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, that was the inaugural address, and she talked all about Chicago and what she was going to do about Chicago. And then she took on something that isn't even a threat here.
I think she's letting people know that she is a liberal leader. I mean, at Democrat in Chicago, yeah. She is going to be one of the voices that speak for liberal issues.
I thought it was a great line, and I thought it was well crafted. And I certainly, don't discourage her argument for it, but it just didn't fit where it was. That's kind of my point, Justin.
Yeah. It was kind of like a sculpture at an oil painting museum.
I thought that made perfect sense.
I took a while to distill that, but I get it, Steve.
Yeah.
I thought I was the king of the complicated metaphors, but that happened to work.
I think you're right. It is out of place because it was all about local issues. But at the end of the day, the mayor of Chicago is a national figure, and she cemented herself by taking on an issue of the time right now, a national issue that Chicago really doesn't have anything to do with. But the women of Chicago and the voters of Chicago obviously feel strongly about the issue, and she came to say, I'm the person who's going to represent you in the national stage.
Extension 720 is Justin Kaufman. You hear him when the White Sox aren't on in the evening on WGN. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, John.